message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us, and we trust that our time together in the Word of God will be a real blessing to you. Ephesians chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul says, and I hope you can get your Bible and read along and study along with us. It makes all the difference in the world when you take the Bible and you open it up and you read the verses. And let me say this to you. If you're a regular viewer of this program, and you don't have your own personal copy of the Word of God, at the end of the broadcast, we're going to give you our address. You'll see it on the screen. Why don't you write it down, and you write me a letter, and you tell me, Brother Jordan, I don't have my own copy of the Word of God, and I'd like a copy, and I'll see personally that you get a copy of God's Word so you can open it up and study along with us week after week right here on this at this time on this station. It's real important. If you want the impact of the written Word of God to have the, if you want it to have the impact God intends for it to have on you, you need to open it up and look at it and read along. So if you have a Bible, Ephesians chapter number 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a tremendous statement. He writes to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's the key to spiritual power. To be in the family of God by faith in Christ Jesus is to be a saint. The word saint means one who has been set apart. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, December 31st, 1962, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a time in my life that I didn't know that Jesus Christ was God manifest in human flesh, or that He had come into the world to die on the cross and God had raised Him from the dead and so forth. But there came a time, I mean, I lived for many years that way, and going to church and in religion and so forth, listening to what they had to say, never doubting any of those things, and yet still on my way to hell. Still a sinner, still bound in sin. The book says, Jesus says, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Yet there came a point in time, December 31st, 1962, about 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock in the evening, and that I came to the place where I personally relied exclusively upon what Jesus Christ did for me at Calvary when He died to pay for my sins, pay for everything that's wrong with me, and when God raised Him from the dead to be the author of eternal life, when I trusted Him. In other words, salvation, to become a saint, to be one, become one that God sets apart as belonging to Him, that comes into your life not by living a wonderful good life, not by achieving a certain status in the religious community. Rather, it comes simply when you make that personal choice of to, by faith, rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Savior that He died for you to be. Salvation is real simple. It's costly. It costs God His Son. It costs God the Son His blood, His life. The only cure for death, spiritual death, is life, spiritual life. And that's ours. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's why the old book says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I trusted Christ as my Savior, December 31st, 1962. And when I did, God gave me His life. And God took me and set me apart and made me a saint. He set me apart and said, I'm setting Him apart and He's mine. And if you've trusted Christ, that's what God did with you. The moment you trusted Him, the moment any person, any sinner, trusts Christ as their Savior, God takes them and sets them apart and says, they're mine. They belong to me. And He gives us the position and the title of saints. But Paul doesn't just write Ephesians to the saints. He writes to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That is, not just somebody who's set apart to God, whom God has set apart to be His, but someone who is faithful in that position, someone who's walking in light of who they are. And that's the key to spiritual power. The key to real spiritual power today has nothing to do with going out and trying to have some outward manifestation, some tongues talking experience or some miracle or some sign or some wonder. It doesn't have anything to do with having great crowds following and hanging on your every word. Real spiritual power is ours simply as we take what God says in His Word, we believe it's true, and we're faithful, we're full of faith in what God says. We believe what God says, and we let what God says be what is the foundation and the reality in our lives. That's why on this broadcast we're so into studying the Bible, studying what God says in His Word. Because it's as the written Word of God. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." It's as we take the Word of God and we store it up in our soul, that it's the Word of God that works effectually, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, in you that believe. God, the Holy Spirit, takes His Word and produces the attitudes and the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And so that's why it's important, and that's who he's writing Ephesians to. Ephesians is written not just to lackadaisical saints, but it's written to people who really have a desire to know what God's doing and what God would have them to do. I've said so many times, if you want to do the will of God, the way you find out the will of God for your life is not by running out and trying to find out, well, where does He want me to be at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, or what should I eat for supper tonight, or should I go to the mission field, or should I stay home? No, no, no. The way to find the will of God for your life is quit thinking about yourself and think about Him. You see, if you'll find out what God's doing, you'll identify from the Scripture what God's doing, and then go do what He's doing, you know what you'll be doing? Right, you'll be doing the will of God. And that's who Ephesians is written to. It's written to some people who are not just set apart to God, God having set them apart, but these are people who are faithful, are full of a desire to know and understand what God's doing and how that live in them. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Now that expression, that statement, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ," that's the way that Paul opens every one of his epistles. You start in Romans, you go all the way to Philemon, and you'll find that in all of them, he opens them with the proclamation of grace and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand what the preachers say about that. They say, well, that's a wonderful way of saying hello. And it is, but it's more than that. The preachers say, well, that's grace. That's the Greek way of saying hello. And peace, shalom, is the Hebrew way of saying hello. And Paul is addressing his Gentile and his Hebrew listeners and saying grace and peace, hello. And all of that is well and good. But there's more to it than that. My friend, every time the apostle of grace writes an epistle, he begins the epistle by stating his credentials, who he is as an apostle, and then he gives forth a proclamation of God's official attitude toward the world.